This is Digital Story Podcast number 752, August 18th, 2020. Today's theme is 5 Ways to Spice Up Your Pick's Life. I'm Derek Story. Much has been written about the evils of gear acquisition syndrome, often referred to as GAS. And yes, it is a real thing for many photographers. But my personal view of this affliction is isolated more to spending big bucks on cameras and lenses. What about those smaller purchases that bring us true joy and energize our enthusiasm for photography? I'll make my anti-gas case on today's TDS podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'm going to admit to you right now that I have. Okay, now fortunately, it's just you and me. So, you know, no one else will know. I've never admitted this anywhere else before. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth right now. So, but just from my mouth to your ears right now. Okay, have you ever set a new camera or an accessory for it on the table in front of you while you worked, watched TV, listened to music? You know, just set it there. It wasn't in use. There was no particular reason to do this other than you just wanted to look at it and admire its beauty. I've done that. Honestly, I have done that more than once. 2 cases that come to mind right now. The first one is the Olympus Pen F in its handsome leather half case. Oh my gosh. What a beauty. Oh, so pretty. The other one is the Fujifilm X100V with its aluminum grip. Yeah, that's pretty. 2 different cameras. You know, the Pen F, my Pen F is a silver Pen F. I've got some really beautiful silver lenses, and I got this brown leather half case with a matching wrist strap. Really nice. And then my X100V is the all-black model, which I really like for the Fujifilm. And it has this aircraft aluminum grip. Really, really pretty. Really nice. And when I look at these things sitting on the table in front of me while I'm watching TV, while I'm listening to music, while I'm browsing the web, doing whatever the heck I do at 10 o'clock at night, it makes me want to go out and take pictures. You know, I go, can't wait to get that camera in my hands and go do something. And that's the idea. That's the idea. And especially right now, that's the idea, right? To be excited, to have enthusiasm, to, you know, want to go do something that you actually can do. Pick up your camera and go take pictures. When we're a bit stale, when we're feeling a bit stale, how can we spark this kind of joy without dinging our credit cards for a $1,500 charge? And my trick, as you've already figured out, has been through new accessories and techniques. And you may be surprised to know that I have 5 of these to share with you this week. Okay, so let's get started on these little things. This is my anti-gas list, okay? Because they don't qualify. Not one of these qualify for gear acquisition syndrome. And you can argue that with me, but I'm not going to yield on this one. Already, here we go. And I'm going to fool with you on the first one. The first one's going to mess with you right out of the chute. The first one is a new lens. And you're going, what? You just said, right? A new lens, but a vintage one. Yes. So it's only new to you. It's been around for a long time. Yes, you could spend $1,200 on a new state-of-the-art optic, no problem. You could spend more than that if you wanted. But scoring a vintage beauty for $100 or less can be just as satisfying and evokes far less guilt. And the images that this glass produces can truly be inspiring, because it seems like each lens that you find on eBay or Craigslist or Etsy or your local camera shop, each vintage lens that you find has a different feel to it. And You're going, wow, this is really kind of neat. And, you know, sometimes in the world of digital optics, everything just sort of produces the same super magnificent results, right? Which is great until, you know, it's the thousandth frame of the same super magnificent result. And you go, I really would like to see something different. A new vintage lens can do that. And since most of us shoot mirrorless or have a mirrorless camera, they adapt. These lenses adapt so well to mirrorless cameras, it's not even funny. You can get an adapter for like $15 that works great. You have this manual focus lens. You take some pictures with it. You're going, wow, this is really interesting. This looks different. It's different operating it. It's different looking through the electronic viewfinder with it. It's just different all the way around. And it can be very motivating, very inspiring. It can push you to photograph things that you might bypass otherwise just because they turn out interesting with this particular lens. I ran into this with, what was it? It was a Nikon L35. It was a film camera that has this cool Nikon 35mm f2.8 lens on it that's very unique. It's a very unique lens, a beautiful lens. This lens was so cool, is so cool, that you could take pictures of the most boring thing and the pictures would look great. And I don't know what is going on there. It has a little bit of vignetting, the tones, everything, the sharpness, the way the sharpness is distributed across the frame. You could take pictures of anything and it would look interesting. This is a crazy lens. And that's what you get sometimes with a vintage lens. So my first item, and one that I'm very high on, I use these all the time, is a new vintage lens, new to you, for about $100, could be less, could be a hair more, and then see what you think. See what you think. And it's an anti-gas item because it's really the price of just an accessory, not a lens that you would buy new or a camera that's new. All right, that's number one. Number two, an ND filter. Yes, an ND filter. Unless you're a seasoned landscape photographer, you probably haven't invested in an ND filter yet. Do so. Even if you're not, do so. Get an ND filter. Download an app for your phone that helps you calculate exposures. There's a ton of them out there. You can get a free one, no problem. And then go find some water, running water. And then amaze yourself with the images that you can produce with this ND filter and some running water or clouds moving across the sky or whatever. Because what the filter allows you to do is slow down that shutter speed in daylight so that suddenly motion becomes interesting. And then depending on what is moving, especially water, clouds, tree branches, things like that, you have a whole different shot than you ever could capture with an iPhone or, you know, any number of other cameras. ND filters, when you start exploring them, are really interesting. And, you know, you got to get into it. You got to get into the mindset. You got to get into what would look good as a long exposure right now. If your camera has a built-in ND filter, the Olympus OMD EM1 Mark III has a built-in, has an electronic ND filter. My Fujifilm X100V and all the X100s have built-in ND filters. They're worth playing with. And if you have just, you know, blown by that on the menu and not played with it, now is the time to do it. And then you don't even have to buy anything, right? You've got an ND filter built right into your camera. Go look for water. Go look for clouds. Very interesting stuff. And then, you know, once you get your head into this, you can start building compositions that the composition itself is interesting. And then you're using the motion that's integrated into the composition to make it even better. See what I'm saying here? So ND filter, if you're not shooting with one now and you want to perk things up a bit, I highly recommend it. Either built into the camera or you go out and buy one. I have a list of a variety of ND filters as a link in the show notes. You just click on that link and you can look at all the different types that are available. Okay, item number three, a pack of black 5x7 frames. You're going, what in tarnation are you talking about? There's something about a museum-styled black frame that makes your images look just a little bit better, a little bit cooler, a bit more professional. And unless you've done this, it's probably hard to imagine what I'm talking about. But the minute you do it, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So 5x7 prints are easy to make. All of us have some kind of printer that can make a 5x7. If you have, and I just buy these in bulk, and I have a link to, you know, a bulk purchase of these that I've already tested in the show notes. It was like $30, and I forget how many you get. You get a ton of them, like 12 of them or something like that, for $30. And they're nice. They're those nice kind of black museum style frames with glass, with backing, the whole deal. They got everything in there. Then you just crank out a 5x7 of something that you've worked on lately. Something that was just going to live on your computer, right? Something that's just hanging out. Maybe you show it on your smartphone to somebody and they go, oh, wow, that's a cool shot. All right. One of those. Okay. One of those. But make a print of it and then put it in this frame. It's a whole different ball game, I swear to you. And they make great gifts. I have, you know, I keep them around the studio here. I have one right now of the Comet, Neil Wise, that I didn't publish it online. I didn't do anything with it. I kept it just for this one purpose, to make it a print that goes in a frame. And I have it sitting on my desk, and I love looking at it. And so try this. You don't want to just have like one 5x7 frame hanging around. You want to have like a little box of them so that whenever inspiration strikes in this particular area, you got a frame ready to go, put it in there, and then you go, man, that's a cool shot. That's a cool shot. Try it. It is so much fun. So much fun. And like I said, cost you like $30. Okay. Number four, a half case or an aluminum grip, your choice. Now, I talked about this earlier in the show. I've gone both routes and I cannot decide which one I like better. You know, on my Pen F, I went with a leather half case and a matching wrist strap. And on the X100V, I chose an aircraft aluminum grip with an Arca Swiss adapter on the bottom. And both of them really add something to the camera. Honestly, they do. Now, for the Fujifilm, it's a camera that I'm using for video also. It can do 4K at 30 frames a second with a high data rate. And it looks really good, and you have all the cool Fujifilm filters that you can apply to it, the film simulations. Mic in, and you can do headphones out, as I've talked about before. So that one, I went with the aluminum grip, which just, you know, for my big hands, makes it fit a little bit better in my hand without adding bulk. But then the base plate is Arca Swiss, and it has openings in the base plate so that you can get to everything. And it has an opening for the speaker, which is on the bottom. And it has an opening for the battery compartment and the memory card. And so they're comfortable, and you never have to look for a tripod plate again, right? Because it's always on the camera. It's always there. And, you know, Arca Swiss are so easy to mount anyway. And you're holding it by the grip. You just bang. You go right into the tripod there, and you're ready to go. And that makes it look better. What it does is it makes the camera a little less rectangle and a bit more square. And it gives it, ooh, I don't know. It's a good look. Those are nice proportions. Now, with the Pen F, you know, with that classic retro styling, even more than the Fujifilm, that leather half case just like takes you right back in time to, you know, just some of these most beautiful cameras by Leica and so forth. Yet you have a modern mirrorless camera, digital camera, that can do anything that you would want it to do. And it just looks great. You can just set it there. Like I said, you just put it on the table in front of you, you know, listen to music, play on the web, and then just have that camera there. And you go, man, I am so glad I'm a photographer. Both of these accessories only will cost you about $30-$35 for either one of them. And they are so worth it. And they change the, you know, they change the essence of the camera. They changed the dynamics of it in a very, very positive way. Here's the last one, number 5, and I love this one as well. A custom lens hood. Not just the lens hood that you can get for the lens, but there are lenses out there that have special lens hoods for them. They're almost always metal. They're almost always machined really nicely. And in the case of 2 of the 3 that I have, they include a custom lens cap as well. So let me tell you the 3 that I have. So first of all, for my Olympus 75mm f1.8, when I needed a little pick-me-up, I got the metal lens hood made by Olympus. Black, it's reversible. And what they did was they put a chrome ring around the base of it with a little knob. So the lens hood slides perfectly onto the outer edge of the lens. You don't screw it in, onto the outer edge. And then you tighten this little chrome screw. I think that 75mm f1.8 with that lens hood is the sexiest lens on the planet. I honestly do. I've never seen a lens more sexy than that combination. So there's one. And again, you know, on one hand, you're going, I'm spending $45 for a lens hood. And on the other hand, after you have it, you're not thinking about that $45 at all anymore. It's just like, what was that? Oh, I don't know. I don't care. I'm just so happy I have it. All right, so there's one. Another one, a second one. I know I've talked about the Voigtlander 40mm f2.0 lens. Man, I mean, first of all, I like 40mm. It's f2, and it's in the F mount for my Nikon DSLRs. First of all, the lens is cool unto itself. It is classic design, beautiful optics, aperture ring with click stops, a scalloped focusing ring that is smooth, smooth, smooth. It is the definition of smooth. And so it has, you know, all these classic lens qualities. And then they put a microchip in it with contacts, you know, little metal contacts, so that a modern Nikon even will recognize it. It gives you XF data, and then it works in, you know, like all the modern exposure modes on Nikon cameras. So you have both. You have both. And I'm going to mention medium later on, but I write about this thing, and I haven't published it yet. Well, it'll publish today when you're listening to this on Tuesday on medium.com. And it's called The Unforgotten. That's the name of the piece, The Unforgotten. And I write about this tandem with a Nikon D700, where I changed out the focusing screen to a microprism collar. Then I put this lens on there, and then I'm not going to spoil the story. I'll just let it go from there. For those of you that follow me on medium.com, that story, The Unforgotten, will be there Tuesday. And I think you might be interested in it. So that's another one. And the thing about the Voigtlander, when you get the metal lens hood for it, again, which is separate, not only does the lens hood look so good on it, you get this lens cap that slides over the lens hood that is so precise. You just look at it and go, how could this fit so well? You know, it's got the little felt lining, the whole deal. And it's got the Voigtlander script on the front of the lens cap. So you get both the lens cap and the lens hood. It takes an already ultra cool lens and just takes it to a whole new place. Just fabulous. Worth every penny. Now, the third one is my Olympus 17mm f1.8 lens. And I have the silver one. And I have a special edition lens hood. Again, it's that Olympus style where it slides over the edge and then you tighten it with a little screw. And it came with a metal lens cap. It is very nice looking. Again, these don't cost a whole lot, but boy, they just change the dynamics and the aesthetics of everything. That is my list. That is my list right there. A new lens, but vintage, an ND filter, a pack of black 5x7 frames, half case or aluminum grip, your choice, custom lens hood. And if you can, custom lens hood with a matching metal cap, all right? That's where it really gets good. So I realize when it comes to photography, I'm easily entertained. I understand that. And these minor indulgences really keep my enthusiasm waxing. They honestly do. You can tell in my voice. Pick one or two and try them for yourself. And if you have a favorite that isn't on the list, please list it on our TDS Facebook page where I post this story so others may consider it for their kits. That is my anti-gas list. I stand by it, and I'm looking forward to hear what additions you may have to it as well. Adobe opens up free registration for its all-digital Adobe MAX 2020 conference. So you can read the entire article on DP Review. I have the link there in the show notes. But here's what they have to say. Registration for the all-digital Adobe MAX 2020 event is now open and free for all. Back in May, Adobe announced both its annual conferences, 99U and Adobe MAX, would be going all digital amidst the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Now, Adobe has opened up registration for its Adobe MAX 2020 conference, making it free for all who want to join the virtual version of the Creativity Conference. The online event will feature more than 250 speakers and take place from October 19th through the 21st. Both the main keynote and the breakout sessions will be available for all registrants. The headline speakers include photographer Annie Leibovitz, recording artist, producer, and director Tyler, the Creator, and actor-director Keanu Reeves. Dozens of other artists across all disciplines will have keynotes and breakout sessions as well. This is really nice, I have to say, to have, you know, a few days here where you could just tune in and probably catch someone very interesting and very compelling from the comfort of your office or your living room, and it doesn't cost you anything. I mean, that is really nice. It's October 19th through 21. I'm probably going to schedule my virtual workshop that's replacing the physical Eastern Sierra workshop earlier in October. So that'll be, you know, a week or so earlier. And then the 19th to 21st, you'll have this Adobe MAX 2020, which I highly recommend. October's going to be a fun month. It's going to be a great month. And I hope you get to catch some of these speakers. It's really a great event. I'm writing on Medium.com. I alluded to this a little bit earlier, and I just wanted to tell you just a bit more about it. I started in June, actually. And so Medium.com, if you don't know, is just a great place to read very good writers talking about all sorts of stuff. I mean, just they run the whole gamut. They've been around for a while. You can peruse for free, or if you pay $5 a month, you have access to absolutely everything that's going on. Obviously, I pay $5 a month because I want to read everything or have the opportunity to read everything. And there's a ton of photography on there. There's music, there's films, there's culture. I've been reading a lot about, you know, COVID-19 and things, you know, such as, you know, what is the latest science related to it that they've discovered, you know, all that good stuff. So anyway, I'm writing there as, you know, at Derek Story. So if you go medium.com at Derek Story, you can see my stuff. And I'm writing posts that aren't published anywhere else right now. They include, you know, some nice pieces, some pieces that I think are, you know, they're doing well. And I'm writing differently there. I'm on medium.com. I said, you know what I want to do is I want to write just the way I want to write. I'm not trying to, you know, to be this or fit into that or, you know, anything like that. I am just going to write what I write. And what I've noticed is, since I've been doing that there, that I'm sort of finding this style that I like, and I'm playing with it, and it's fun for me to watch it evolve. This is something that you can follow along with. The one that went up last week is called The Body is Willing, Long After the Mind is Gone. Then, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to have a piece that should be there by the time you get there called The Unforgotten. And, you know, this is, both of these, along with many of the others, are kind of in the style that I'm playing with that I think you would enjoy. I think you would enjoy reading it. So if you go there and if you find some of my pieces and you like them, if you clap for them, I'd really appreciate that. If you want to follow me, that would be fantastic. And if you go there and it's not your thing, I totally understand. I do. Like I said, you know, I'm experimenting here and I'm having a blast doing it. Those darn meteors. Okay. So last week, you know, I talked about the meteor shower and I got all set up and I love my kit for, you know, wide angle sky. I'm not super wide angle. I use a 12 millimeter F2 on my OMD EM1 Mark II. So it gives me 24 millimeter sky. And it's manual focus, you know, which I really like, so I can get the stars exactly the way I want them, all that. I was teased. I was teased beyond mercy both nights that I went out, because I would go out and the sky would be pretty clear when I went out. And then by the time I got set up and I looked up, I see some clouds coming in. You know, after an exposure or two, then the clouds were there and suddenly there was, you know, there were hardly any stars. Meteorites are tough anyway, because, you know, the way that I do it, I just put it on, you know, I figure out what the exposure is because I like pinpoint stars. So whatever it happens to be, 6 seconds, 8 seconds, something like that. And then I just put it on a timer. So it does an exposure and then it waits long enough for the noise reduction to process. And then it does another exposure. I just have the camera do it automatically. So I don't have to sit there with, you know, the remote release in my hand. And I let it go for like an hour or whatever. And then I just hang out and watch, you know, the action. It's really kind of fun. Except when there are no meteors. then it's not as fun. Although I still had very nice nights under the stars both nights. And I did enjoy that part. So I do have a few pictures that have some meteors in them, little meteors. But nothing like what I was envisioning or hoping for. That's the way it goes sometimes with this kind of photography. If you have a really cool shot, a meteor shot, then you know, let me know or put it on our Flickr public group page. I'll look at those and then feature some of my favorites. I can tell you right now, any of those that are favorites will not be mine. So hopefully you had better luck than I did. All right, let's wrap up with a little virtual camera club business. So I have some very nice videos on thenimblephotographer.com. If you click on workshops, there are videos on video conferencing, how to look and sound really good, on digitizing family memories. And then I got two new ones coming up. One's already recorded and our Patreon members have had a chance to look at, but I'm going to put on Nimble Photographer, incorporating CDs, compact discs, into your digital library. And then the big one that I have been working on, which is setting up a hi-fi system and then digitizing vinyl. Boy, I mean, that title has evolved so much since I started on it, but it's been a blast and I absolutely love it. And I hope to have that up this coming weekend. So some good stuff happening. So we have the stuff that's already there. We'll have two new pieces in there this weekend. You know, music during this time right now has just been great for me. It has been that extra little thing that just made this new life that we have for right now a little bit more bearable, maybe even a lot more bearable. And I think you will enjoy both of these titles. Take a peek once they come up. And then, of course, the video conferencing and the digitizing family memories are there already. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com, see what's happening. Also want to give a shout out to our Patreon members, the folks that support our podcast month in and month out. Thank you so much. We have some new members this month. Welcome aboard. Welcome to a great group of artists who help support this community and also who provide me with some very valuable feedback. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member and seeing what's going on, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. That'll take you over to the site. You can see what's going on. And I would love to have you on board to be in this community, this elite community, and also to help support this effort that I think a lot of us feel is worthwhile and maybe even important. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. That printing I did this week, guess what? Yes, it was on Red River Paper. It was on Polar Metallic. Yes, I did my comet shot on metallic pretty. That's all I had to say. Very, very pretty. That's just one of the surfaces they have. They have so many different surfaces, and it's nice to have a few different ones right there ready so that you can match the image that you have to the surface of paper, you know, so that you get it exactly the way that you want, and then put it in that 5x7 frame like I talked about, and then just stand back and go, whoa, that was cool. That is cool. All of that stuff, all the paper, all the different sizes, all the goodies that you need, it's all there at Red River Paper. You just have to click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. Take a look at what's going on. Get yourself a few different types of paper. Have them ready to go. Have your black frames ready to go. And go to town. Really, make some beautiful stuff. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them, our longest running sponsor of the podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you take advantage of some of these ideas or share some additional ones that you have. Until next week, have a very creative week. Have a very enthusiastic photography week. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.